Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
We're in You Ask Supernatural, and the last few weeks we've been looking at this unseen realm that you and I have to deal with in our lives, and that really everybody has to deal with, and that if we're going to serve God, we have to understand that and be able to fight. When we've talked about the presence of the Holy Spirit and His work in our life, or God's presence in our life, but there's one other issue I want to address this morning that kind of, I think, in this realm gets people a little concerned, and that is, how do I know it's God? How do I know God is talking to me? How do I know whether the thought I have is a God thought or a Satan thought, a bad thought? How do I know whether the emotion or the feeling I have, is that God? Or is it God leading me? Or is that just me and the devil? Well, that's a great question. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus had come to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. And he asked him, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven's revealed this to you, and you did not learn this from any human being. In other words, Peter, that was God. Peter kind of goes, yeah, I got it. You know, Peter, good job. You heard God, okay? Verse 18, now I say to you, you're Peter, it means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. Upon the confession, Peter, that you just made, not Peter, upon that confession, you are Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now on that confession, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you forbid on earth, be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth, be permitted in heaven. Then he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. And from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders and the leading priests, the teachers of the religious law, and he'd be killed, but on the third day he'd be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You're a dangerous trap to me. You're seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. One moment, Peter, good job. You heard that. God revealed it to you. Next moment, Peter, Satan, get behind me. That's us, isn't it? One moment you get it right, and the next moment you've got it really wrong. How do I know? How do I know which one is what? You know, same guy, two different impressions, two different thoughts. One was good, one was bad, and one minute you're listening to God, and the next minute you're listening to yourself. Right? You know? All around you, there's these waves going on and all these things happening. And how do I tune in to hear God? God's constantly talking to you. But so Satan. When Satan talks to us, we call that temptation. Him trying to get us to do something that's wrong. So how do I know the difference? How do I know? I'm going to give you a few things this morning, a little checklist, if you will, a little way to know this. The first three are very critical, very critical. The first one, does it concur with the Bible? God will never contradict himself. If the Bible says it, then God will not say something different. He won't say, well, you know I said that, just forget it. No, it's always the same. Luke 21, 33, heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. Proverbs 12, 19, truthful words stand the test of time, but lies are soon exposed. You know what that means? That means that if it was true once, it's still true today. The truth doesn't change. You know, and if it's true today, it'll be true in the futures. Fads change, therapies change, trends change, popular opinion changes, culture changes, but God doesn't change his mind. And so if God says, look, I don't want you to lie, you don't have to say, well, I'm thinking about maybe doing this. No, that's wrong. What do you think? It's wrong. If God says pay your taxes, and he does, then when it comes time to pay those taxes, well, I think God's telling me to keep a little back and give it to the church. No, he's not. You know, if God has already said it, it's truth. Now, you know what? Everything around us changes. If you got a science textbook in school, if you got one that's 10, 15 years old, it's out of date. Why? Because it keeps changing, doesn't it? Our culture keeps changing. Well, we know it was a taboo back then. We shouldn't have done it. But today it's different. No, God still says, look, marriage is still a valid institution, and it's still God's idea, and any sexual activity outside of marriage is sin. God says that. You and I don't get to change it. You know, God created us male and female. God said that. We don't get to change it. And so we come to that place where we have to recognize, but what happens is, well, isn't the Bible a little bit out of date? No, it's still true. Galatians 1:8. Paul wrote the New Testament. Notice what he says. He says, let God's curse fall on anyone, including us or even an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. I don't care if you get a vision. He says, I don't care if an angel from heaven comes and tells you something. If it goes against the scriptures, the Bible, God's word, it's not true. Don't believe it. Don't follow it. Do you understand that most of the cults exist today because someone started the claim that an angel came to them and told them something? And they wrote it down and suddenly had new revelation, and suddenly they begin something else. And here's the secret. The majority and most of God's will is in God's word. And it does not change. And so when you're wondering if it's God or not, does it concur with the Bible? When Satan was tempting Jesus, how did Jesus counteract his thoughts? With God's word. He quoted scripture. And so you and I come to that place where we have to understand, does the Bible say it? And if it says it, I don't care what you think or what you think you hear or what you feel, it's not God. All right? Number two, does it make me more like Christ? You see, you and I are on this journey, and if I follow through on what I think God's telling me, if I follow through on the oppression that I'm getting, is it going to make me more Christ-like? Will it act like Jesus act? The bracelet that was out years ago, the little phrase, what would Jesus do? Still very, very valid. And so God's goal is to make us more like Christ. So when I'm thinking about something or wondering about something or got a question about something, here's the question. Is this going to make me more like Christ? Ephesians 4:15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who's the head of his body, the church. Philippians 2:5. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Boy, that stops a lot of stuff, doesn't it? So, Pastor, I'm thinking about this. What do you think? Well, is that going to make you Christ-like? Well, no, it's probably going to damage my reputation a little bit as a Christian. You know, other people might look at me and be watching me and know that, well, Christians don't act like that. Then I shouldn't do it. You know, well, okay, I got to have the attitude of Christ. What's he like? Well, let me give you one little checklist. James chapter 3, verse 14. If you're bitterly jealous, there's selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, demonic, of the devil. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But wisdom from above is first of all pure. It's peace-loving. It's gentle at all times. It's willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism. It's always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Wow. Well, I'm thinking about doing something, and some people may be offended, but I don't care about that because I think it's right, and I think it's okay. Well, you might, but is that making you more Christ-like? Is it pure, peace-loving, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good deeds, sincere? Boy, if it wasn't for the AC, we could hear a pin drop. So how do I know? Well, is it making me jealous? Is it willing to yield to others? You know, selfish ambition, all these things matter to God. And so if God is giving you an impression that produces harmony, it's of God. If God's giving you an impression, well, I'm going to go tell them and give them a piece of my mind, and I don't care what they think. Do you know what? That's probably not godly. When I get an impression, when I have a thought, does it make me more like Christ? And if it's not, it's probably not of God. So, does it concur with the Bible? Does it make me more like Christ? And number three, does my church family confirm it? Does my church family confirm it? You see, God never meant for you to go through life alone. And why are we alone most of the time? Because we don't want anybody telling us what to do. My wife and I had the joy, I think, of watching our grandkids yesterday. Once again, it was reinforced to me, no matter how old you are, you don't want anybody telling you what to do. Right? I want to do this. And you know, there was a few times two of them got in trouble because, why'd you do that? I wanted to. But I told you, you couldn't. I know. That's us, right? You belong to a body. You say, you know what? I'm a part of this group. I want to live in community with other people because I need their protection. I need them to be around me. I need them to help me. Because here's a secret. Nobody has it all together. I don't. You don't. That's why we need spiritually mature people around us. I love this verse in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Do you understand that God wants to work in us as a community and as a group and as a church to display his greatness, his goodness, his wisdom to the unseen world? That brings a whole new idea to church, doesn't it? And I understand, well, the church is the body of Christ everywhere. I agree with you. But the church you've committed to is here. So here's the question. If God has spoken to you, or you have an idea or an impression from him, are you willing to go to someone who is spiritually mature and ask them what they think? Well, I don't want to ask anybody. Here's what that tells me. You don't want to ask anybody because you want to do what you want to do. You don't want to ask anybody because they're probably going to tell you, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. That goes against Scripture. It goes against being Christ-like. You shouldn't be doing that. We don't want to hear that, do we? And in fact, if somebody tells us that, we get ticked off at them. And, well, I go home and, well, there's another friend that bit the dust. I'm done there. In fact, I might just leave the church if that's what they're all like, because they just don't understand me and they just don't see what I'm going through. There are no lone rangers in Christianity. And God brought us together to conform us into a body, into a family, so that we could be one. And you say, well, I just don't have any good Christian friends that I can trust like that. Then I sure hope you'll join one of the Connect groups and make some. You know, and if you're seeing something in the Bible and you've read it, and oh, this is brand new, I need to go this, and I've never seen this before, I'm sure it's a new revelation, and you go to a friend and they tell you, no, that's not right. Listen to them. But the problem is, we don't like listening to anybody. Let me just tell you something. God will reveal his will to you through other people more than you care to believe. And nobody has to walk up to you and say, God told me. In fact, let me give you a little principle. If somebody walks up to you and says, God told you, they tell you, just say thank you, walk away, and forget it. Because God probably didn't tell them. Sorry. They were just trying to manipulate and control a little bit. They had a good feeling towards you and wanted to try to help you out, but it wasn't God. Everybody, are you still hearing this? Okay, all right. So, you know, well, you know, I don't know, Pastor. You know, other people just don't understand me. No one understands you. You don't understand you. And so you and I have to come to that place where, do we have these people in our lives who will help us? Proverbs 11:9, with their words the godless destroy their friends, but knowledge will rescue the righteous. Now notice, I did not say you go to your best friend. I did not say you go to the good old boys that you enjoy. I said you go to somebody who's spiritually mature, more mature than you, or for those of you who are very spiritual, as mature as you, or close to mature as you, you know, however you want to get it there. Will you go to somebody who you know they're spiritual and they'll tell me the truth? Do you know how many times people have walked into my office or talked to me and said, well, I didn't want to come and ask you because I knew what you were going to say? Yeah, you know, we do that, don't we? And so you and I have to be willing to say, will you listen? As I've watched people over the years, I've recognized there's two big reasons people mess up in their life. Let me give them to you. Number one, they don't have any spiritually mature friends. They're hanging with a crowd of people that aren't going to help them spiritually grow. They got no one to go ask spiritual issues to. Secondly, they don't listen to them if they got them. I want to do what I want. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. They don't understand my problems. The moment you hear yourself saying that, just slap yourself, silly. Well, they just don't know what I'm going through. They just don't know what it's like. They just don't understand me. Yeah, we understand. You're getting ready to make some bad choices. Proverbs 11:14, without wise leadership, a nation falls. There is safety in having many advisors. Now, by many advisors, it's not go and find somebody to talk to until you find somebody who tells you what you want to hear. And so you belong to a body of Christ. We've chosen to believe certain things. We've chosen to act in certain ways. Am I willing to stay connected to this church family? And am I willing to allow it and its principles help me and guide me? You know? Or will I just go out and find somebody who will tell me what I want to hear, not understanding, hey, look, they're on crack and they don't know what they're saying. They just don't understand what's going on. You know? But we don't want to, do we? So, Does the church family confirm it? Now, I've told you previously, if you don't get those three right, the rest of what I'm going to tell you is not going to help you. All right? Everybody understand that? Those three are biggies. These other things are important, but if the first three aren't right, don't just go off of the next group that I'm going to give you. Next is it consistent with how God has shaped me? God has planted within you certain character traits and certain abilities that he wants to use you for a specific purpose. Is it consistent with that? Ephesians 2:10, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You know, God, is this the way you've made me? And, you know, God, is this what you have for me? Romans 12:4, just as our body have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. What do you mean by shape me, Pastor? Well, it's like this. Let's suppose that I go this week to Pastor Mark and say, Pastor Mark, God has told me to sing a special next week. Well, it's not that funny, is it? And by the way, Pastor Mark, I'm operatic. And I just know he's told me to do this. And he tells me, I'm sorry, but no. And I say, but all my friends have told me I could sing. And he says, you need to get some new friends. My mama tells me I've got a great voice. Well, she's your mama. She's probably lying to you too. And hasn't American Idol proven this? Right? Here's the deal. God has not shaped me to do that. Has he? Now, there are a lot of people, I'd just love to sing. Well, yeah, sure, we all would love that, probably. But that's not the way God made us. And so God says, look, I have specific things that you can do in the body of Christ. And I've given you the abilities and the things to do that. Quit trying to want to do something else because you see somebody else doing it or because you want to be on a platform or because you think that'd be more glamorous or anything. And would you just be willing to use what you've got? Because I've given you certain things to be able to do. Well, I don't know what I'm good at. I don't know what I can do. Well, then go through the GROW classes because they'll help you. They'll help you find out what can go on. And so you and I have to understand God uses how he formed us to direct us. And Satan will constantly try trying to get you to do something outside of what God has given you the ability and to enjoy and do. Next, does it concern my responsibility? Am I responsible for this? You see, here's the deal. We don't want anybody else telling us what to do, but we love telling other people what they should be doing. It's called gossip. It's called judgment. Isn't it amazing how you and I sometimes think we're the Holy Spirit for other people's lives? If they'd just listen to me. Well, they might listen to you if you were acting more. Never mind. That's a whole nother thing. You know, is it my responsibility? One day Peter's talking to Jesus, and Jesus is telling Peter certain things, and he tells Peter how he's going to die and what's going to go on with him as he gets to the end of his life. And they're having that conversation. And in John chapter 21, verse 20, Peter turns around and saw behind him the disciple Jesus loved. That would be John. And the one who had leaned over to Jesus during the supper and asked, Lord, who will betray you? And Peter asked Jesus, what about him, Lord? And Jesus replied, I love this reply. If I want him to remain alive until I return, what's it to you? It's none of your business. Doesn't concern you. As for you, follow me. Peter, I've told you what's going on. Get your eyes off somebody else and just deal with your stuff. Because how many of you understand? It's a full-time job dealing with your junk. You know? Now, notice what happens from this. And we know who had to start this. Peter starts a rumor. So the rumor spread among the community of believers that this disciple wouldn't die. But that isn't what Jesus said at all. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what's it to you? Boy, I'm glad the disciples were like us. You know, in other words, Peter, get your own act together before you start trying to straighten everybody else out. Peter, deal with your stuff. Don't try to listen to God for your spouse. Try to listen to God for you. And if you'll be listen to God for you, you will probably have an ability through your actions and your attitude to have a great change on your spouse. Now that right there was worth the price of admission this morning, okay? But so many times what we try to do, we try to presume that we know somebody else's will for their life. Well, I just have a strong impression of God. Then pray for them. Because most of the time, if the times in my life where I've said something to somebody that mattered to them, I didn't know I was saying it until later. And they've come back and said, you know, when you said that, that was God. God really spoke to me through what you said. And I go, really? What did I say? That's usually the way it works. It's not, come over here, God told me to tell you. You're to stop doing that. That's not your responsibility. Now, sometimes I will grant you, there are people that are close to you, really good friends, family members, who are going a wrong direction, and that you maybe need to talk to them. But would you not preface it with God said? Would you preface it with, you know what, I really love you and care for you. And I want to help you. And I see that you're doing some things that you're really hurting because of it. Is there anything I can do to help? It's not, look, I've been watching what you're doing and what you're doing, and if you keep doing it, God's told me to tell you, you're going to hell if you keep it up. That's not loving and kind, is it? No. Romans 14:4. Who are you to condemn someone else's servant? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall. With the Lord's help, they'll stand and receive his approval. You focus on your responsibility, not what you're going to do or what God's going to do with other people's lives. And you and I have that ability to be able to listen to him and us obey rather than trying to listen for everybody else. God's speaking to them. Let them hear him. Romans 14:10. Why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of God. For as the scriptures say, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me and every tongue will declare allegiance to me, praise to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you'll not cause another believer to stumble and fall. Boy, is that great advice. Then, is it convicting rather than condemning? Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because we've already talked about this a little bit, but let me just make sure you understand the difference. Conviction comes from God. Condemnation comes from the devil. The purpose of conviction is God is making you aware of something in your life that isn't lining up with him and his word, and he wants you to change it, and as you change it, that conviction just goes away. And as you come to him and say, God, forgive me, I know this isn't right, and it isn't pleasing you, and I need to change, and will you help me? The conviction goes away. But condemnation is you beat yourself up, you come and say, God, okay, I'm sorry, forgive me. But in another hour, you're feeling the same thing again. What you're saying is God didn't have enough power to forgive you the first time, so you got to keep feeling bad about it for a long time. God doesn't want to beat you up. Satan does. And so if there's something that God's speaking to me about, convicting me, then I need to listen to it. God wants me to change something. God, you've been dealing with me about this. You understand it. So God, would you please help me to change it and know that I want to, and I'm going to do everything I can to do that. And with your help and your strength and your presence in my life, I'm going to make a change here. Then you don't have to feel guilty anymore. But condemning God, I know you're dealing with me, and God, you know, I'm a miserable, no good, rotten, dirty sinner, and I'm never any good, and you know how bad I am. That's not God. God doesn't think that about you. And so some of you have been guilty for weeks or months or years. It's like going to somebody and ask them to forgive you, and then you go back in 2 more days and ask it again, and then you go back in 4 more days and ask it again. No, God says, I've forgiven you. It's done. You don't need to keep beating yourself up. Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And if you've ever felt guilty in your life, where every time you go to God, you feel like, I'm not measuring up, I'm not very good, that means you're not hearing from God. And if you've accepted God and his son, Jesus Christ, in your life, and you trust what Jesus Christ did on the cross, there is now no condemnation. That what you've done is done. And it's forgiven. But if you hear the words, well, you're hopeless, you're worthless, you're dirt, you're unlovable, you're junk, that's not God. It never has been, never will be. Revelation 3:19. Here's what he says. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. God does it out of his love for you. Satan does it out of his hatred for you. So you only have to ask for forgiveness once. And you and I don't have to feel guilty forever. See, here's what Satan does. Before you commit a sin, Satan kind of tells you it's no big deal. Nobody will ever know. It'll be all right. Nobody will ever find out. You can do this. It's okay to do. And then after you've done it, he beats you up with it. And that's what he does over and over and over again. Here's a problem. Too many Christians, too many people make this mistake of their own low self-esteem, and they think it's the voice of God, and it's not. Did you hear that? Some of you grew up with people that you could never please. That's not God. That's not the way he operates. You're good enough. Here's what Satan does, and you know, here's what's going to be his end. Revelation 12:10, I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, it has come at last, salvation and power in the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. One day Satan's done. But all he wants to do is accuse you. It's Satan's job to make you feel bad. And if those feelings are there, they're not coming from God. Last one. Does it convey God's peace? Does it convey God's peace? Now you have to be careful with this one, because I have heard too many people over the course of time, well, I'm going to do this and I have peace about it. Well, it goes against God's word. It's not going to make you more Christ-like. And the church and the church family and the people around you have told you it's wrong. That peace you're having is not from God. And so that's why I say you can't just take one of these and, well, this is God. No, it's not. But at the same time, when I'm doing the thing God wants me to do, there is a peace within me that knows this is good and pleasing to God. Because I'm following his word. It's making me more like him. I've checked it out, and I've talked to some people that I trust, people that I can look up to, people that will not steer me wrong. And I know God's working in this, and it's hard to do this, but I know it's right, and there's peace about doing it all the time. 1 Corinthians 14:23, God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the meetings of his holy people. He wants you to have peace. Satan just drives you compulsively, but God draws us compassionately. Do you know most of the stuff that God's going to tell you is encouragement? Is love. And he's going to care for you. Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You know, it's really something that when you're doing something that's really difficult but right, it's really great to be able to do that knowing that you're doing the right thing. And that God is pleased with that, and you're pleased with that, and that gives you peace, doesn't it? And so you and I need to understand that God speaks, God talks to us, God says what he wants to say, and he draws us to himself. But hear me, if you want to hear from God, you need to belong to God. That's where it starts. We've already talked about how the Holy Spirit draws people to Christ. That's what he's going to be saying to you. You need to come. You need to change your life. You need to turn it around. You need to quit living for you. You need to start living for me. You need to start doing things differently. And until we act on that, we're not going to be able to hear what God really wants to tell us, because we're going to be doing the things we want to do, correct? But once I do that, now I can listen to God, and I'm his child, and he cares about me. And if I'm willing to listen and obey, God speaks a lot. I have never heard an audible voice, but I've had many thoughts in my mind that I know that's God. That's right. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I've had feelings that that's God, that's just not me. Why? Because usually it goes against what I want to do. Right? This is God. And so God is talking. Are you listening? And are you obeying? If you're not obeying, why should God say anything more? You're saying, I'm obeying over here, but not over here. Then you're not obeying. Period. God wants to speak to you. If you'll listen, if you'll obey him, you'll be able to make the decisions that you need to make in life, knowing that God's with you and he'll help you every step of the way. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.